In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Golf is a great game, and one of the things I love about golf is this wonderful principle called a mulligan. And for those of you who don't know what a mulligan is, it means if you make a mistake, you get a do-over. So if you line up to hit your drive, and you end up hitting it along the ground, and it goes all of 3 feet, or it immediately hooks and goes into the woods, if you're among friends, you can say, I'm going to take a mulligan, and you get to do it again, and you don't have to count that stroke. Now, depending on how good your friends are, you may get to take a number of mulligans, and if you're like me, you may need a lot of mulligans. But it's a good thing. It keeps the game friendly. It keeps it less stressful. Now, if you're really good at golf and you're, you know, if you bet, and I don't bet because I have enough stress as it is without that, you probably don't like the idea of a mulligan. But I submit theologically, pastorally, we all like the idea of a mulligan. We like the idea of, oops, made a mistake, let me take another shot at that. God gives us that. He gives us that. And in fact, we celebrated the beginning of it last Sunday on Nativity. Actually, on Monday, Nativity. That is the beginning of the mulligan. Let's go back. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. That means it had no shape and there was nothing in it. So what does God do? He immediately sets to work about giving it form. He sets and separates the sky from the waters, from the dry land. Okay, so now it's got form. What does he do? He then fills it, because remember, it was a void. What does he fill it with? Plants and animals, birds, fishes, right? Light in the heavens. He fills it. He does the same thing with humanity. In the beginning, we are created. Now, Scripture doesn't say this specifically, but I think we can read this into it. He created us, and we are formless and without void. So, he seeks to remedy that. He gives us his image and likeness to both form us and fill us. And there we are in the Garden of Eden. We're with God and we enjoy perfect fellowship. It's very nice. It's lovely. But there is an outside influence that God, in his mystery, permits. Satan is in the garden. And he offers us something as humanity. He offers us the knowledge of good and evil. Actually, if you think about it, he's offering us the knowledge of evil because we already had the knowledge of good. God was there, and we knew God. We walked with God in the evening, so we knew good. We may not have known the fullness of good, but outside of God, I don't know how much fuller you could get. We knew goodness. What Satan offered us through that fruit was the knowledge of evil. Unfortunately, we took a bite. We took a bite. So now we have brought into ourselves of our own accord, and you know, we are our own worst enemies. I feel like I have said that before, but if any of us are honest when we look in the bathroom mirror, that's our worst enemy. That's our worst enemy. That's who we have to conquer. We make it all too easy for Satan. All too easy for Satan. But Satan comes in, an outside influence. He offers this, we take it, and now all of a sudden we are a mixture of good and evil, of faith and of despair. We have this. We have this mix that we have in us. We need a do-over. And Christ permits an intervention, or God permits an intervention in the person of His Son Jesus Christ, who comes to earth in the form of a child, in all humility, saying, look, you've strayed. Let me show you how you need to do this, how you need to live your life, how you need to be in order to find peace and fulfillment. Because in this life, what do we find? We find sickness. We find injury. We find disappointment, aggravation, fear. We find death. So, God sends His Son into the world. In the epistle lesson, what does St. Paul exhort us to do? To run the race, to fight the fight, to keep the faith, and to receive the crown of glory. Run the race. Christ ran the race. You know, this life is a marathon. It is not a sprint. I used to think at one point that, oh, when I become an adult, when I reach some certain magic age, or drive that car, or have that house, or have this number of children, or do this, or do that, I have arrived. Life is there, and boy, it's just coasting from there on out. That's not it, is it? That's not it at all. At some point, you hit an age and you realize they don't have it any more figured out than we do. We're all doing the best we can. We're all doing the best we can based on the collective knowledge that we have in our families, at the church, the gospel, God's leading. We're doing the best we can. But it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So adjust yourself accordingly. I mean, in golf, a typical round is 18 holes. If you play football, that's four quarters. A tennis set has six sets. I mean, you know, you have to pace yourself and expect setbacks, right? Fight the fight. It's a fight. He's told us it is a fight. So we mustn't be surprised when we get real pushback, maybe even blows or injuries. Not physically, hopefully, but we still receive these blows and injuries sometimes. Oh, you're a Christian. Why do you fast again? Are you guys Jewish? Do you really believe that it says that in the Bible? Is that literal? You know, all these little kind of needle pricks we get when we talk about things. You know, I walk around, I go to Belk's or I go to the store, and if I have my collar on, Father, let's talk about homosexuality. What is the church's position? Father, let's talk about this. You know, out of the blue from somebody I don't even know. And you're like, you know, this is a very delicate situation. Especially if I'm not, don't have my head on and not ready to engage in that sort of thing. In a pastoral point of view, I'm thinking, what color of socks do I want or whatever? And these things can be like, whoa, what are you talking about? I mean, it happens. It's one reason, you know, we kind of sneak and don't wear the collar sometimes. So you can actually buy a hamburger without having to answer questions. But it's interesting. But it's a fight. It's a fight. And we have to be aware of it. Especially when things are going well. The moment you find some peace, I can't be the only one that's experienced this, the moment you find some peace, wait for the devil to stick his foot out and boom, trip, there you go. You'll say or do something, and you're like, why did I do that? Well, I just hurt somebody's feet. Unnecessarily. Because I just fell for that oldest trick in the book. The devil will keep doing that, by the way, until we prove to him that we know we're not going to fall for that again. But it is a fight. It's a sprint. I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And we must keep the faith, right? This beautiful, mysterious, magical, if I can say, thing we have, this Christian faith. Look, God gave the Jews the law because He knew them of all people would adhere to the letter. They would maintain it. They would study it. They would dedicate their lives to it. And they did and still do. The one challenge for them was thinking outside the box. They took that law, that letter, and that's about all they can see. It's right there. And God says, wait a minute. I'm here. I'm outside this letter. I'm outside that printed word. I'm here as a person. Listen to what I'm telling you. Think, feel with your heart. Some did. Many did, actually. I mean, what, 3,000 there at Pentecost? There were a lot. But not all. That's our challenge too. To keep the faith. We can't define it down to this nice 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, we can write some things down, that's right. But the faith is about love. Love is inherently irrational. We can't reduce the faith to rationality. It transcends that. How can you say love is rational? It's not. So we have to be irrational. We have to trust. That doesn't mean we don't have to balance very difficult things. We've just gotten married. Wonderful. Great. Then we lose our job. Oh, ouch. Right? These things, hey, it happens, right? Or we just, this is far more common, it seems to me. Mom and Dad, look, we're pregnant. We're going to have our first. And then they tell you, oh, well, that's wonderful. But Grandfather's not doing too well and he may not make it very far. And you know, so life comes, life goes. And we have these things in tension at the same time. It's hard, but we can do it. We have to keep the faith. And if we do, when we cross the finish line, we will receive the crown of glory. What is the finish line? It's not being baptized. It's not receiving Holy Communion, as glorious as that is. The finish line is death. We have to maintain the faith as best we can, and God knows we're going to make mistakes. We have to maintain the faith until we die. Right? Until we die. None of this, oh well, you know, I said it. I'm in. I'm good. I can kind of do what I want. No, that's not it. We have to maintain the faith until we die, because that is the finish line, as Paul said. And that's when we receive the crown of glory, when we get to go into the kingdom of God, where everyone else will have the crown of glory. We had a wedding here. Had a wedding and two baptisms recently. Is that right? Or two baptisms, two weddings and a baptism. I don't know. It kind of all run together, you know. It's good, but we put crowns on them at the wedding because they are royal now. They are royal, king and queen. And that is our faith as children, adopted children of God. So we need that mulligan in Christ. And I want to encourage you as we approach the next year, 2018, tomorrow already. It's going to be 2030 before we know it. Oh my goodness. I mean, I can remember the 70s, and I know others can remember other than that. This is amazing. Go in faith and hope and love. Don't be surprised when things are difficult. They will be, but you can get through it with the love of God, your family, your friends, brothers and sisters, really, here at church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.